They were unashamed and they were literally unshameable. God says, I'll take care of that. I'm going to deal with that. You know, Will Rogers said something. He said, listen, live in such a way that you would not be ashamed to sell your parrot to the town gossip.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Greetings and welcome to our midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. If you're tuning in for the first time, we're currently airing Pastor Bill's series, The Good Book, from the New Testament Epistle of Romans. Pastor's study continues today with the message entitled, Who's Your Master? Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles as we continue our in-depth study on Sunday mornings, the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 6, beginning this morning in verse 15. And remember, very important, if you ever wanted to get a hold of these three chapters, 6, 7, and 8, they deal with sanctification. Not that we're leaving off justification that we've covered over and over, but sanctification, that process of the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer, changing him from glory to glory into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We call that Christ-likeness. So these chapters, chapters 6, 7, and 8, all the way to verse 39, deal with that. And then, of course, we move into Paul's talk about the nation of Israel. Remember that there is a difference between justification and sanctification. Justification, the moment that a sinner, let's put it this way, the moment that I confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and truly believed in my heart, I was justified there on that beach in Florida. I didn't realize that I was justified. I didn't even know what that word meant. But what happens is when we confess with our mouth and truly believe in our heart and receive Jesus as our Lord, his perfect, spotless record is imputed, if you will, into our account. It's not a feeling, it's a fact. It's a one-time act and it's never repeated again. So justification is something that happens to us. But sanctification is something that happens in us. It is a process removing us from the power of sin in our life. Amen? So important is the Holy Spirit is there working in us. So sanctification then is that transformation where we're being changed again from glory to glory. Now that we have that in our hearts, this morning, chapter 6 is so important to the believer. And I know that it's heavy in doctrine, but the fact is, loved one, you need this. I need this. We should have chapter 6 to believe it or not. We should memorize chapter 6. We should have that embedded in our heart and understand all the true divine facts that belong to us as we are believers in Christ Jesus. This morning, we're going to talk about who's your master. Very important because that's what Paul is going to be talking about. Sin is the most ruinous thing that has ever come upon a man, a woman, or a planet. What Adam did in the garden so corrupted even our own creation. Creation, it says, is groaning until that day. I mean, listen, you know, we look out here and say, oh, the world is so beautiful, the trees and so forth, and they are to us. But you see, that's not what really a tree really looks like. Do you understand? See, we're under the curse in the world. Did you know that? When we walk on grass, man, during the millennial reign, it's going to say, what is that? And they're going to say, that's grass. And I'm going to say, hello. In other words, that's St. Augustine out here. That's pretty, but it's not, oh, that's not really. It's suffering. So sin has caused all that. But oh, in that day. So the greatest gift that God can give us through Christ Jesus, yes, salvation, yes, justification, and thank God for sanctification, but it's that freedom from the power of sin trying to overtake our lives, that old man trying to come up and be upon the throne of our hearts. Spurgeon put it this way. He said, I'm convinced that we endure more sorrow from our sins than from the providence of God. Beginning in verse 15, who's your master? Let's begin. Paul, in his second question, now, what then, he says, shall we sin because we're not under the law, but we're under grace? Now, Paul's first question, remember last Sunday, had to do with our sin nature, the old man. Now, In other words, can I just go ahead and sin if I believe? Can I live the life I want? Well, we know that's not true. Amen? Now, Paul's second question doesn't have to do with an habitual sin life, but what it does have to do with is individual acts of sin. We could actually kind of read it like this. Shall we commit occasional acts of sin as opposed to a life of sin? In other words, maybe we take the night off now and then and just sin a little bit. Can we do that? No, we don't want to do that. Amen? And the reason that we don't want to do that is because, look at it again, we're not under the law. The law can't save you. The law can't get you to heaven. It can only condemn you, tell you that you're guilty. It's powerless to save or to remove guilt or sin. So we're not under the law. We are under grace. That's why we don't want to do that. So Paul says, you've got to be kidding me. Certainly not. May it never, ever be. Now listen carefully. Grace, the unmerited, unearned, divine favor of God. Grace is stronger than the law. Oh, it is incredible. Let me give you a perfect example. You know, I drive Interstate 820 all the time, as many of you probably do as well. You can be driving, and if you're going over the speed limit, it's a construction area, they have those blinking lights that shows you how fast you're going. Amen? Do you see the frustration? I'm trying to spit it out and won't come out. And the moment that you see you're going 57 instead of 50, you immediately slow down, don't you? And the moment you finally get out of that zone and all through the corners and the curves and it opens up to three lanes and it says speed limit 65, all of those signs, they make you stay at 65, don't they? No, they don't. I see you passing me all the time. I'm in the slow lane and I'm going 75 and people are passing me. No, so the fact is, the law doesn't stop us from doing anything. However, if there were about 100 motorcycle police officers in their with those radar guns out there waiting for you, what would you do? You would say, officer. You'd sit up straight. You'd be terrified for about 3 seconds looking in your rearview mirror, hoping, please don't turn on those red lights and come after me. Well, I would. No, okay, why? What did I say that for? Okay, because see, we are under grace, which means that we have the Holy Spirit of God living in our hearts. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the moment that a true believer, if you do something you should not have done, whether it's a look, a spoken word, whatever it might be, immediately, the Holy Spirit, man, he has that radar gun, doesn't he? And you go, oh, man, he convicts you immediately. Why? That's sanctification. He's saying, stop it. Don't look at that. Turn that off. Get away from that right now. Don't open the door. Don't give the old man any options because he'll take each and every one of them. So we're talking about who's our master this morning. Look at verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you, Christian, whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? Well, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience. That's a great word. Obedience leading to righteousness. In other words, a holy walk, a holy lifestyle. Paul says, do you know? And you say, well, know what? Loved one, listen. All of us, we were born here on a planet. A planet where every person is a slave. You could call it the planet of the slaves. Not servants, but slaves. We live in a world that is filled with those who are in Adam. We were in Adam as well. In other words, what the people in Adam like? Well, they don't particularly care for the light. They kind of like the darkness, don't they? Matter of fact, they call dark light and evil good and all the rest of it. See, here we are in a world system where we're living right now on this planet. And the fact of the matter is, it's filled with slaves. And the head of this world, meaning the tempter, the deceiver, Satan, the god of this age, if you will, the one who holds the world in his own sway, all the unbelievers, listen, he and his emissaries, the demons, you know what they do? They put under their control those that are in Adam. They make them slaves, even though they would never say they're a slave. Even though before we were born again, if someone said to me or you, probably, hey, did you know you're a slave of Satan? And I'd say, did you know you have a black eye? I'm joking. You know I wouldn't do that. No, but you understand. But the fact of the matter is, that's the truth. You see, that word doulos there means this, the word slave, doulos. It means where my will is swallowed up in the will of another. Paul, when he said, I am a bondservant of Christ, he says, I'm a slave. That's a doulos. In other words, Lord, it's not my will anymore. It's your will in my life. It's not I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. Amen? Now, that's what we need to know. See, we're no longer in Adam, but every person, especially the Christian, every person on this planet, they're not going to have a middle ground. Every person is a slave. Every person has a master. It just doesn't matter. When it says present yourselves there in that verse, it's indicating a willing choice on your part and my part. See, we're either going to be a slave of the old life, the old man, or we're going to present ourselves as a slave unto God where righteousness rules. Amen? In other words, we are a slave, and with a reason, and the way we find that out is by making a choice every day of our life. Are we going to obey God today? Are we going to obey our old nature, our old person? See, no person, no matter how rich, famous, doesn't matter. You can have bodyguards. You can be a movie star. You can have somebody open the door for you and all that. It doesn't matter. They're still a slave if they're not in Christ. Do you follow me? There's no middle ground in this life at all. There's no such thing as I'm a free spirit. You know, I mean, before I came to Christ, just like many of you, you would say the same thing. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I have my own thought, what I believe is true, and I'm living my life by it. But the fact of the matter is, we weren't our own boss. We didn't know what was happening. We didn't understand all the things that are going on in life. So we are either a slave to sin by the natural birth, just being born in Adam, or we're a slave to righteousness because of the new birth. Jesus told us in Matthew 6:24, he said this, you cannot serve two masters. You can't do it. You cannot. Jesus doesn't lie. He said, you cannot do it. So the fact is, who is your master? See, if the Lord, if he's your master, he demands that we walk by faith. Amen? If our old man, if he's our master, or the devil or whatever, he demands that you walk by sight, what you can see in this world. You know, if your master is the Lord, he tells you that, you know, you need to love light. The other one tells you to love darkness. One tells you to love self. Jesus says, oh, no, I want you to deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow me. Amen? That's what is going on. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. There's no middle ground. There's just no compromise there. And the good news is Jesus doesn't make slaves. Jesus frees a slave. Amen? To walk and serve him. So the master that a person obeys in their life, then if you look at that master, you'll find out who you're obeying. In other words, let me put it this way. The master is the one we obey. That's a very important thing that we understand this morning. You know, because if, for example, whenever a Christian says to me, well, I'm not really in church. I haven't been in church in 5 years, but I'm a believer, and I don't really own a Bible, and goes on and on and on. I'm not beating that person up, but I always ask him. I say, well, are you living a holy life, or what kind of life are you living? No, man, I'm a lot of different. I'm in sins. I said, well, like habitual, ongoing, everyday, continuing sin, like the world? He says, yeah, that's true. Well, then I always say, well, listen, then don't say that Jesus is your master. Don't do that, because Jesus is not your master. Do you understand what I'm saying? You say, oh, Bill, that's hard. No. It's not how you walk in this world. It's where you walk in this world. And the Bible is telling us very clearly where we need to walk. We need to walk in the light. 1 John 1:6 says this. John said, listen, if we say, we open our mouth, oh, yeah, man, if we say that we have fellowship, if we have intimacy, if we have that koinonia, a relationship with God, if we say that, and walk in darkness, meaning a habitual lifestyle of sin, listen to what God's word said. We lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, meaning God, if we walk in his light, it tells us that we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. See, the old man loves darkness. The old man always wants to get you in trouble, but he is not our master. He is not our boss. He has no legal right to me or you ever again. Amen? But we have to believe that, and we have to act upon that as well. Matthew Henry said it this way, if we would know which of these two families we belong, we must inquire to which of these two masters we yield our obedience. Now, look at verse 17. Paul says, oh, but God be thanked, and I say amen to that, though you were slaves of sin. We're no more slaves of sin, but when you were, and the reason, you obeyed from where? From the heart. See, with the heart, the Bible says in Romans 10, one believes unto salvation. With the heart, it says you obeyed from the heart, what? That form of doctrine, that form that a doctrine means teaching, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. You trusted in the Lord, to which you were delivered. I love what J. Vernon McGee says about this passage. People, he says, think of the gospel as something delivered to them to live up to or to lay hold on by their own wills, rather than as a body of truth which they have been handed over to. You see, we've been handed over to the good news. Amen? That's why we've been changed. We believe that with all of our hearts. So the result of that, watch this in verse 18. And having been set free from sin, our old nature, the old Adam, all that we were in Adam, it says, you became slaves of righteousness. The moment that a person believes in their heart, confesses in their mouth, Jesus is Lord. Yes, justification takes place, but sanctification is also immediately. It begins right that moment. In other words, the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer. That's why all of a sudden the day, do you remember the day you came to Christ and you knew something had happened and you'd maybe read the Bible 100 times or tried to before and it never made any sense to you? But the day that you were born from above and you started reading the Bible, it started coming alive. Why? That's sanctification. It's the work of the Holy Spirit illuminating every word, illuminating every passage. The Holy Spirit's greatest desire is to take a Christian from glory to glory to glory to glory into the same image, which is Jesus Christ. That's his greatest glory. That's what he loves to do. He loves to see us changed into Christ likeness. So the moment we came to Christ, that sanctification started working. Yes, sin wasn't eradicated. Yes, still it's still present. And yes, sin always, we're not living outside of the realm of the influence of sin, okay? But our old man, we have to reckon him dead because we changed masters. No longer slaves to sin, we're slaves unto God. And Paul says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members, your body, if you will, your faculties, he says, to uncleanness, your members as slaves to uncleanness, meaning all those sins of the flesh, sexual sins and so forth, and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. Now, that was before you were born again. So now, meaning that you are born again, present your members as slaves of righteousness. For holiness are literally unto sanctification, living right for God. Listen, every decision that we make, when we wake up in the morning, we walk out that door, we have to say, are we going to obey the old man or the new man? Amen? Come on. Listen, we reckon him dead, but he is still hanging around. That's right. Boy, the works of the flesh are evident, loved one. You can see it. And you can see it in believers. And we look at it and said, no, that decision. Slavery results from a decision. We're either going to obey God, we're going to obey the old nature. Now, did you notice that word more lawlessness in that text? Sin breeds more sin. It always does. Always. You open the door to the old man, the old appetites, and say, well, I'm just going to have that one time. You know what happens? You'll have it 2 times, then 3 times, then 4 times. You'll have it 1 week, then you'll have one time, then you'll have it every day. Then you'll have it all through the month. Are you following me? The old man, he wants you. He wants the throne of your heart again. He wants to rule you. And you know, he's there. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. Amen? Now, with all that being said, you know, it breeds more wickedness. So if you go from you tell a lie, then you have to tell another lie, and another lie, and another lie, and another lie. That's just the way it works. But watch happens now. For when you were slaves of sin, past tense, you were free in regard to righteousness. Before you were a believer, you did whatever you wanted to do, really. I mean, you had your own set of rules, your own set of righteousness, your own set of conduct, and your own sense of right and wrong. And, you know, for example, if you know, sin, of course, was our master. And if we lied, and we lied because we obeyed sin, and we really didn't think too much about it because, hey, everybody lies. You understand? So we did freely just as we wanted to do. Oh, that doesn't mean that we didn't try to be a good person, pay our taxes, you know, mow the yard, you know, raise our kids, don't say cuss words. It doesn't mean that. But we were still dead in trespasses and sins before we were born again. The results of all that was a fruitless life. Look at verse 21. So Paul says now to the believer, what fruit did you have in the things of which you are now what? Ashamed. Before you were born again. You know, all of us, and I mean, we're all susceptible to the same temptations, all of us. You know, there's not a day that doesn't go by, loved one, that, you know, even though I renew my mind daily, just like you do to the Word of God and meditate upon the Word and memorize God's Word, but still, the mind is what the devil attacks, isn't it? Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it seems like you can wake up in the middle of the night and sometimes you're thinking only about the Lord and then all of a sudden a thought will come in and it's something that happened 20, 30 years ago. And then all of a sudden you feel horrible about it, even though it's forgiven, but you go, I'm so ashamed that I did that. When I look back at my life before I came to Christ, there are a lot of things that, loved one, I'm ashamed of. I wish I had never, ever done. Are you like that? Yeah. And I go, I wish I'd have never, oh God, why didn't you save me when I was 5 or something, you know, instead of 24 or whatever it was. You know, why did you do that? And all the crummy things that I did that I'm ashamed of here. He says, listen, for the end of those crummy things, those things that we're ashamed of in the past, for the end of those things is fun, pleasure, living the dream. No, we had no idea that they would end in what? Death. We were on the road, man, to death. And listen, don't miss the force of Paul's now. That's very important. He says, now ashamed. When we were slaves of sin, we were not ashamed. Not true biblical shame. No, we were not only free, we were free and fruitless. See, to be without shame, when a person is without shame of what they do, the horrible, you know what that tells me? That tells me, number one, they're not born again and their life is dominated by sin. But whenever a person is ashamed, like we are of our past, of things that we've done, or even things that we've done since saved, you know, listen, that's the mark of the new birth. That means if you're ashamed, I mean, just say, I didn't mean to do that, Lord, it grieves your heart. You know, the only fruit that sin has, number one, is eternal shame and eternal death. That's it. That's all the fruit of sin. You know, it says in Ephesians 5:11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which were done by them in secret, or literally by the things they did in darkness. Being ashamed when we blow it. I believe a believer should be ashamed. You know, that's a sad thing. Jesus told us in Luke 9:26, he says, whoever is ashamed of me, in other words, whoever disowns me, whoever doesn't want anything to do with me, if you're ashamed of me and my words, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his glory and in his Father's and in the holy angels. It says in 1 John 2:28, little children, abide in him, meaning abide in Jesus, have fellowship with him, live in union with him, abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. For if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices or has an habitual lifestyle of righteousness is born of him. Listen, I'll tell you something. I tell people all the time, if you're ashamed of Jesus today, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, I can't imagine a believer being ashamed of Christ. Amen? But, you know, well, I'm ashamed to pray at Luby's. Why? Luby's needs all the prayers they can get, man. You know? No. If you're ashamed of Jesus now, I promise you, you will be ashamed of his coming, and he may come tonight. Like I told the first service, I said, I pray he comes before the election. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah, you know? So the thing is that when we ask ourselves, who's our master? Well, you know, what we should always do is do a spiritual checkup, a spiritual exam of our own heart.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will complete this message on our next broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thanks for listening today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.